excited. Hey, if you're a teenager or if you've got a teenager that normally comes to our youth ministry or maybe doesn't come to our youth ministry, send them over at 7:15 to Day by Day SM, that Facebook page. We're going live with the youth service. Day by Day SM at 7:15. The rest of you guys is hanging around. I challenge you, get with your family, come together, project this thing to the biggest TV you can find, biggest screen you can find in your house, and let's have church. You ready to have church, Sister Asbel? You ready?
I'm ready.
I am too. Hey, I'm sitting here with Sister Asbel. She does a lot for this church, especially when it comes to food. Who had food today? Raise your hand. Yeah, it was good stuff, wasn't it? Great. What was it, hamburger steak, Sister Asbel?
Yes.
Yep, some gravy and mashed potatoes and green beans and some dessert. Well, this lady I'm sitting here beside, she is the one who basically handles all that in the kitchen. It is fabulous. Sister Asbel, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had a good group today that's been here since probably before 12 o'clock. We've been cooking. It was a labor of love. We laughed. We cut up. We enjoy helping the public and being a blessing to them.
Absolutely. How many did we feed today? How many dinners went out the door?
We did over 200.
Over 200 dinners. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And not only that, Sister Asbel, she's also the one who, actually, her late husband started our second Harvest ministry.
Yes.
So if you've ever been blessed by that ministry, that's the third Monday of every month. But through that, Sister Asbel, what's incredible is every morning, the last 2 weeks, we've actually been giving out from 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, we've been giving out boxes of food that Second Harvest has supplied for us. And once again, if you need assistance with that, once a week you can come by and take advantage of that as well. But that's from 9 o'clock a.m. till 10 o'clock a.m., mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. Sister Asbel, tell us a little bit your perspective when it comes to what's going on in the world with this coronavirus and everything. As a widowed elderly lady, let us know. Tell us some things.
There are things that you can do as the church. We don't run and hide. We step out and we do what we're supposed to do.
Man.
We bless people. We stay safe. But still, we're the church, and we're supposed to show love to those that are going through things and to help them to trust God through this time.
Amen. That's good. So what's some ways that maybe you've done besides being here? I know at the church you've done so much. Is there anything else that you want to share that you've done?
When you go out to places, what I try to do is be sensitive to the needs of the others.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they don't have money to pay for their groceries. You can offer to pay for their groceries. Some of them just needs a word of encouragement that, yeah, you're going to get through this. God is for us. He's not against us, and he will see us through it.
Amen.
And we can trust him.
Preach, Sister Asbel. That's really, really, really good. Really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Hey, guys, one announcement before we go live. I think we're getting close. We're down to about a minute now, I think. But before we go, pastors asked that whoever wants to come up to the church and ride on this floor, mm-hmm. Guess what? We're sitting here. There's no carpet mm-hmm. under our feet. They've ripped the carpet up. They've already got all the old glue sanded down. And we want to write some scriptures. We want to put some word on this floor before we cover it up again. 17, 18 years ago, however long it's been, they did it before they put the last carpet down. It's still standing. The word never goes away. And it's still standing on this floor right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do that, here's what we're trying to do. Just keep everybody safe. Call the church office. Set up a time with Miss Kathy, answer the phone. Set up a time that you're able to come up just to kind of keep the 10 or less in the building like we're making sure we do. And come up and just write whatever scripture comes to your heart that you want to leave on this floor before we put the tile on or the carpet on. Bay Harbor, we're getting ready to go live. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy tonight's service.
Yes.
Y'all have a blessed one. Worship with us.
Yes.
Good evening, Bay Harbor. To all who are watching, we're glad to be right there in your living room with you or wherever you are. Come on, let's worship together if you will. How many remember that glorious day when God called you out of the life that you're in, the despair that you're in, and saved your soul, gave you a new hope? Listen to the words of this song. It says, I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? it was my tune till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tune till I met you. You called my name.
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness.
To your glorious day.
You called my name. Out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
Now everybody, let's sing. Now your mercy. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Come on, shout it out, yo.
The old me knew, Jesus, when I met you.
Here's what I did. You called my name.
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness.
To your glorious day.
You called my name. Yes, I did. Out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
I think all of us were here. We can sing these lyrics from the heart. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open.
'Cause when you call my name, out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
Yes, I did. You call my name.
I ran out of that grave.
Hey, out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing.
I have a future.
I have a future. Yeah. My eyes are open.
Out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
You called my name.
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness
to your glorious day.
We came running out of the grave. His words were life to us, amen. I need a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, and now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken,
you were my healing.
No, your love.
Your love is the air that I breathe.
I have a future.
I have a future.
Yeah.
Eyes are open.
Cause when you call my name, yeah.
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness.
To your glory.
Call my name.
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness.
To your glorious day.
Hallelujah. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. He called us to greater things. Our life is built on His faithfulness. We have a hope in Jesus. He's given us certain promises, and we know that He will keep His promise. He's a God of His word, the God, the one, only God. The song says, my life is built on your faithfulness. My hope is held on your promises. I take each step with your confidence. Cause I am yours. I am yours. You never fail. You never will. I'll trust your name for greater things. You will come through. You always do. I'll trust your name for greater things. Let's sing. You cleared a way.
You cleared a way in the wilderness.
You brought me back.
You brought me back from my brokenness.
You took my shame.
You took my shame and you buried it.
And what you've done,
I won't forget.
You never.
You never will. You never will. I'll trust your name for greater things. You will come through. You always do. I'll trust your name.
Let's sing it again. Sing, you never fail.
You never.
No power of hell can stand against me. I'll see this fight from the victory.
Yeah.
You never fail.
You never fail. You never will. I'll trust your name. For greater things.
You will come through. I will not fear.
I will not fear. For you are with me.
I'll
see this fight from the victory.
No power of hell.
No power of hell can stand against me.
Yeah.
I'll see this fight from the victory.
You never fail. From the victory, yeah. No power of hell can stand against me. With you on my side, I've seen this fight from the victory. One more time, I will not fear.
I will not fear, for you are with me.
Your name, you will come through. Sing, I'll trust.
I'll trust your name.
You never slack on your promise, God. You will just perform your word. I'll trust your name.
I'll trust your name.
Amen. The promise that God will not fail. Matter of fact, it's impossible for God to fail. The victory that we have is in Him. And because we are in Him, we are victorious. What wonderful promises that we have. Thank you so much for viewing with us tonight on YouTube and through the app and through other means. We appreciate you spending time with us. It's so difficult not to be able to see everyone and not to shake hands and hug, but we're being wise with this. This is not what we want. None of us want it. It's an inconvenience. But yet through it, we're seeing the mighty hand of God move in an incredible way. And as we are, we're seeing the world shift around us. Things have changed. Used to be a month or so ago that when we sneezed, we would say, God bless you. Now when we sneeze, we say, you threatening me? Things have changed. My heart goes out when I go to the grocery store. I try to stay away. But when I go, I see those lonely items on the shelves. that nobody wanted. All the bread and everything else is gone. The freezers are all empty. But yet my heart just goes out for those single items that nobody wants. So aren't you glad that God wants us and he chooses us no matter whatever everybody else feels about us? I want to start tonight with a word of prayer before we get into the word. I know that you may be facing a lot of obstacles in your life. There may be some uncertainty that you feel towards tomorrow and anxiety that's trying to well up within you. But I want to let you know that God is in control of everything. And as a believer in him, if you are a believer, you can trust him with no matter what you face because he has you in the palm of your hands. Father, tonight we come before you. We are thankful for the privilege that we have of gathering in your name through this venue. Father, it's not what we really want to do because as the body of Christ at Bay Harbor, we want to be together. But Lord, we know that even though we're not gathered, that we're still together because we are the church. We're not defined by a building, but we are the people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that there would be a supernatural peace and rest that would flow over your people tonight. That even as they're watching with all of the what they might be facing, that there would be comfort that would come through you. We trust that it would go out across the airwaves and that you would make yourself known. We proclaim these truths, these promises in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Bay Harbor, thank you for your faithfulness. You are such a loving and wonderful and giving church. And even though we haven't been here to physically take up the offering, it hasn't stopped you from giving. So many of you have mailed in your tithe and your offering. So many of you have come by and dropped it off and made a special trip to make sure that happened. Some of you are giving online. A number of you are giving online. And you're not stopping your giving just because of what we're facing. And so I commend you for your faithfulness, not only to your church, but more importantly, to the promises of God. You are trusting him. And so I'm grateful for that and thank you for what you're doing. Also, thank you for the work that you're doing in the community. It hasn't stopped us. Today we've had a team that went out and delivered home-baked goodies to those who are widows and those who might be shut in alone. Tomorrow we'll be taking dinners to those in the community who are shut in and unable to get out on a regular basis. And tonight, what a wonderful time we had as 200 meals went out from this building. We did it in a safe way. We're honoring what those above us has asked us to do. So people would come in through a drive-through, and they would pick it up. And I was able to connect with you, and I miss you so much. But to be able to see you, and so many of you wanted a prayer, and you can't get that at McDonald's. You're not going to get a prayer when you go through that line. But just know that when you come here on Wednesday nights, we want to serve you. There's no donation that we'll receive for it, but we just want to give. And it's selfishly, it's a way that we can connect. Well, we've got great plans, not just for tonight, but also for Sunday. Sunday, we will be meeting again online starting at 9 a.m. There's a lot of different ways that you can do that. We would appreciate if you would connect with someone and invite them to join our live stream services through the different venues that we have. Also, I want to let you know that at 10:30, after our service has concluded, the kid men will start their service. So they'll begin a service at 10:30. So adults, you can watch with us as a family, and then you can let them have their time and as we still get together with the children. So we're excited about what God is doing in that. As we've started this service, the students are next door, and they have started theirs live as well. And so they'll be going and joining us here in a little while. But I'm ready to get into the word of the Lord. You know, Peter, as we look at 1 Peter again in chapter 3, we're continuing with our series here. Peter was talking to a people who were facing different circumstances. There was the threat of persecution that was heading their way. They were facing the onset of it at the time. It was a troublesome time. But what I've noticed in all of this is that troublesome times often usher in a spiritual enrichment. Now, I've had people ask the question, Pastor, what is this all about? How do we look at this? Is this a sign that the end is here? And I don't want to speak to you tonight as a prophet, but staying within my lane, I want to speak to you as a pastor. A pastor is one who gives protection, encouragement, strength, provision, and sometimes even discipline. But I'm going to tell you what I feel in prayer that this is. This is not the end, but this is the beginning of the end. And what I sense in my spirit that the Lord is doing is that he's awakening his church. If you will notice, the two major things that they're asking of us is to rigorously wash our hands and to be separated from those so that we wouldn't continue to infect others or be infected ourselves. Those are the same two things that God expects of his church. He wants his church to be people whose lives that are cleansed. He wants us to live lives of purity and holiness before him. He also wants his people to be separate. He said to us, come out from among you them and be separate. We are in this world, but while we're in this world, we can be contaminated by sin. And he doesn't want us to be contaminated by sin. He's paid too great of a price for us to live in the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you, where are you in your life? Are there some areas in your life that you may find yourself at a place where you've been contaminated by the sin of this world? Come to the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Come to him and allow him to cleanse you, because the end is coming. So are you prepared for that when it comes? I know I'm just starting out, but if something happens to you and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, then I want you to text or call the number on the screen. 912-262-1227 is the church number. You can text and someone will reply to you. You can call and someone will answer your call. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to talk to you, even if you need, especially if you need salvation. It's kind of within this context that Peter is talking to the church. Last week we heard where he said that it's imperative for you to get to a place that you are reminded to be united, be sympathetic, be loving, be tenderhearted, be humble in your relationships with each other. Because he knows that we need the strength from each other. But as we begin to look at verse 9, he moves from the context of the church itself out into the life at large. And this is what he says. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. The commands that Peter lays out for these believers in Asia Minor are really challenging ones. It's difficult. He's asking them, first of all, in the negative, don't retaliate with personal revenge. Look at what he says. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when insults come your way. That goes against human nature and is really against human history. Because the flesh throughout time, everybody wants to get to a place where when you hurt me with the actions that you commit or you insult me with the words that you say, the natural response is to get back at somebody. The natural response is to seek vengeance. The natural response is when someone hits you to hit them back. But Peter's telling these people who are facing a government that is holding them down, employers that are difficult to work with, and even spouses who are difficult to live with. And he's saying, I don't want you to retaliate with them. That's not what I'm asking you to do. And throughout history, we see it. Because what's happened in the past is that they knew that people would respond that way. So even in the law came in and said, well, wait a minute, time out. If you're going to retaliate, which I know that you will, make sure that what you retaliate with, or the revenge that you give, is not greater than the provocation that's been done. So in other words, if you hit someone in the eye, you punch them back in the eye. If they steal something from you, you got to give it back. There's these events that are taking place. eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand. So they set these up. They set these paradigms up. But Jesus came on the scene and said, that's not what I'm expecting of you. I'm not telling you to seek personal revenge. Instead, I'm wanting you to give it to the Lord. Jesus comes in and says, I want you to, when they slap you, to turn the other cheek. When they take from you, give them your jacket also, not just your shirt. I'm wanting you to love those who hurt you. And this is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. But as we've already heard from Peter, in chapter 2 and verse 23, he said this, Jesus did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. It is beneath the Christian who has been forgiven by God to get caught up in reacting in a way that is against Christ's nature. So what do we do? If we're not to seek personal revenge, what is it that we do? He tells us, we bless others. Again, this is something that was unheard of, but instead of retaliating, we should be a witness to a people who are oppressed. This is challenging. The characteristics that were mentioned in verse 8 come to play within this. But I see Peter, as we look at the totality of this letter, if we'll go back just a little bit further, we see something. He identifies us not just as any people, not just as everyone, but he identifies the believers in the church as a people who have power within ourselves, because our identity in Christ is that we are priests. He says, you are royal priests. And part of the responsibility of a priest was to bless people. We see it in Numbers chapter 6. That the priests were commanded to offer this blessing unto the people. I will bless, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. This blessing that went on was the blessing that the priest had the authority to give to others. And so what's happening is Peter is reminding the church of who they are in him. And the authority that we have is we have the authority to bless people. That is what he's wanting of us. And I know it's difficult. It's challenging. But look at this. To bless others is the Christian calling. The way that Jesus wants us is to love others and even our enemy. To bless someone means to speak good over their lives, with the intentions that unbelievers will see us blessing them and come to the Lord. For unbelievers, for believers, it is speaking life into someone, a deeper walk with the Lord, with someone who already has a relationship with him. The power of this is incredible. And so therefore, the calling that we have as Christians is to bless. And not are we only to bless certain people, but specifically, God is commanding us to bless those who have persecuted us. It's a challenge. Peter is basing this off of Jesus' teachings that was on the Sermon on the Mount. We see it activated in the Beatitudes. But not only is it our Christian calling, but to bless others is to be blessed ourselves. I know that sounds selfish. I know it sounds selfish that I'm going to bless someone, even someone who has hurt me, because I recognize that there's a reward for me doing so. But that's exactly what Scripture is talking about in this passage. That when we get to a place that we bless others, then blessings will come back to us. It'll come back in two different ways. One way is the heavenly reward that we'll get in heaven. That is the reward that we look for. That one day all of this is going to be over with, and because we had the propensity within ourselves and also we followed through with it, that we went against the nature, but we blessed people. then the Holy Spirit knows that we're storing up an inheritance that we haven't received yet. But there's also the earthly reward. That reward that we have even now. That if we have that willingness to reach beyond ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to move inside of us, that He comes in and He blesses us now. A quick look at what we've already talked about and a couple that we haven't tells us what blessings in the present look like. In 1:8, it is the inexpressible joy. In 1:9, it is the rewarding salvation. In 1:17, it is the escape from godly judgment. In 2:2, it is spiritual growth. In 2:19 and 20, it is pleasing God. In 3:1 and 2, it is husbands that will come to the Lord. In 3:7, it is prayers that are not hindered. In 4:14, as we will see, it is the glorious Spirit of God resting on you. In 5:7, it's the care of God that will come to you. And in 5:9 and 10, it is the foundation of restoration, support, and strength. When we look at this, the best way that I can try to describe it is like a paycheck. We get paid, and when we get paid, part of what we have made goes into a retirement fund that we don't see. Now, I want to encourage you, maybe now is not a good time to look to see how much you have in the retirement fund. You're trusting the Lord with it. But in it, we don't touch that money. We don't see it. We don't enjoy it right now, but we're storing it up for something that's down the road. But the blessings of the paycheck, if your wife don't take it all, is that you get to enjoy it now. When we reach beyond ourselves and begin to bless others, what God is saying is there's a reward for you if you do. But we have to know this. If He's saying, I will bless you if you bless others, He's also saying, I will not bless you if you do not bless others. Also, we see that to bless others is an act of empowerment. The people that Peter was talking to, they were a group of people who had been suppressed, had been pushed down by society. There didn't seem to have any stature or any standing. Their rights had been taken from them. Their freedom had been taken away. Persecution had come in and they were oppressed. But there's power. There is power in blessing others. You may take away everything I have to where I'm left with nothing, but you can't take away the power that I have to love on the inside, to forgive in my spirit, and to bless. That's one thing that people cannot take from me that I have control over in my life. To bless someone is a tangible way of letting them know that we forgive them. That's tough. And I can't even tell you the full extent of why we're having this conversation tonight. But I believe that there have been some of you who are watching that find yourself in a place where you've been hurt by someone and you find yourself in a prison. And that prison is eating you up. I want to challenge you. If you've been wronged by someone, and here we are, we're a lot of families are having to deal with issues. I got a message from someone this week from Safe Harbor Kids Ministry. And they said that within times of crises like what we're facing right now, that the cases of abuse and neglect, physical and sexual, has already gone up over 132%. It's challenging times. You may be sitting next to someone that you've held a grudge with. I want to encourage you. I'm not telling you it's easy. But what I'm asking you is to listen to what Peter's saying that he got from the Lord. Bless them. Turn it around and find it in yourself to forgive them and just begin to bless them. When the scripture talks about heaping coals of fire on their heads, it's not some revenge that they're seeking. Actually, fire was so difficult to be made and kept that when you took from your coals, you would give them and bless them to the degree that they could get their fire started. even your enemy. Pastor, have you ever had to do that? Absolutely. Is it easy? Not at all. But there's something that happens to me oftentimes during prayer, that as I begin to come in and seek the presence of God and I get all the madness out and I get all this out of my system, that I begin to sense a shift. And that shift comes, and when it does, I turn around and just start praying blessings over them. I just ask the Holy Spirit to bless, not so that I can get revenge from them that way. No. I'm asking sincerely. I'm not talking about this Southern thing where we say bless. I'm talking about genuinely from your spirit that you're speaking blessings and life over someone that's hurt you. If we can, before we close out tonight, let's look at verses 10 through 12. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. This is the longest Old Testament reference that Peter gives within his letter. The context of where this is written, you may see it indented in your Bible and in quotation marks. But what that is it's coming from Psalms 34. Psalms 34 is interesting to me. At the end of it, it talks about a time where David, he's been chased away by Saul. He's living on the run. He's in a land that doesn't belong to him. He's among people that they're not his. He's got an anointing over his life. He's got the promises of God over his life. But yet when he finds himself in the Philistine territory of Gath, and while he's at Gath, the men turn on him. He's with another king, but this king starts getting nervous because his men are nervous that David's there. So in order for David to get out of the situation, he pretends that he is insane. He begins foaming at the mouth, and they leave him alone, and he runs out and escapes from the danger that he was in. But he starts the psalm in verse 1 saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Pastor, you mean even when I'm uncertain as to how I'm going to pay the bills, if you're trusting the Lord, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be on my lips. Pastor, are you saying that I'm at a place that I'm uncertain about my relationship and uncertain about the future or uncertain about what you're doing? I'm telling you that David was at a place in the most difficult time in his life where he was saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be on my lips. What I see in this is Peter deliberately, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, made a connection. He made a connection between David's life in Psalms 34, and he made a connection between what was happening with the believers that he was writing to, which therefore fits to us. He was looking at Christ and his life and how it applied to their life, but also how it applies to our life. See, I want you to understand this something tonight. You might find yourself living in a place that you don't belong. You may find yourself living among a group of people who you can't identify with because they don't have the same values of you. They don't have the same outlook at you. They don't have the same convictions at you. But you're living in this place and you feel like you're under persecution. You're going through difficult and trying times, and you're trying your best to get through it. But you also know this. Don't miss this. Don't forget it. There is an anointing upon your life. As a child of God, there is an anointing upon your life. And there's the promises that God has spoken over you. And so the same situation that David found himself in is the same situation you may find yourself in tonight. But I pray that there would be an anointing that would come upon you, that there would be a determination within your spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. But he says this. He says, really, he's speaking to the righteous. The righteous, even during these times, are ones who enjoy life and see happy days. Christians would read this from a whole different perspective. they would see this from a whole nother context than what the Old Testament audience originally would have. You see, within the Old Testament, there was the idea that live long and prosper. There was this enjoy life and see many happy days was something that was in the present. The blessings of God that they experienced was in the present. It was materialistic. It was something tangible to them. But for the New Testament believer, for us, it's much deeper than that. We understand what it is to live lives of enjoyment even now. We have a foretaste of the blessings of God in our lives right now. But we also know that there's a futuristic approach to it, because we know that the best days are yet to come. We know that there's more that we're going to experience in Him. So that our many days are just beginning, even when we breathe our last one here. There's an anointing upon our lives. And even during the tragedies of what we might be facing right now, the uncertainties of what we're going through, we can still enjoy life. It doesn't mean that we're going to be free from problems. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be difficulties. If you want to read the entirety of Psalms 34, you will see that there talks about that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the promise is that God will deliver us from them all. What I'm hoping that you will experience through this time is that you can trust the Lord, and that the promises that He's spoken over you are true. And so David is saying that we can get to a place where we can have victory over the persecution, and that is exemplified by the ability that we have to live life. Earlier today, as I greeted many of you as you came through the line, to see your smiling faces, to hear the laughters, the ones that are sending me jokes, the ones that are there to put a smile on my face, that is what it means for us to be the body of Christ. Secondly, the righteous continually pursue peace. Blessed are those who work for peace, Jesus would say, because they are the children of God. We do this by keeping our tongues from spreading evil. We do that by stopping the negativity. Let me tell you something about all this. There's not one thing that I see right now that we can change. So our perspective as we go through it is essential for how we overcome it. The second thing is to keep our lips from telling lies. Don't try to slander someone just because they're coming against you. Have power and authority in who you are and stand above it, because there's power in that. So instead, we're encouraged to continually to go on the hunt for peace. Pursue it. Track peace down as best we can. We're not always going to have peace in our life. It doesn't always happen. That's why Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers, but the peacemakers. Sometimes we just have to make peace when it doesn't exist. But it doesn't mean that we should pursue it. Stop pursuing the negativity. Stop telling the lies. Stop trying to do all these other things, and really try to pursue peace with all people. And once you find it, keep it. Maintain it. Allow it to be part of your lives. And this is what I want to close with. The righteous have the promise of God in their lives. When we do what is right, we have the promise of God over us. To be righteous is to stand in the right covenant relationship with God and in trust to Him. And when He puts these human-like characteristics on God, He says that His eyes are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayers. If you are a child of God who are walking in the righteousness that's found in Jesus Christ, then know this, that the all-seeing, all-knowing, everywhere God is the one who has you. He is watching, especially He is watching and caring for you. He knows what you're facing. There's nothing that you're going through that He doesn't know about and that He can't fix. There's nothing that you are facing. There's a promise that's over your life that He does not turn His head from you. He does not turn His ears away from you, but He's listening and He's watching what you're going through. That speaks to the love of God, and that is a word for somebody right now that you need to understand that if you're walking in that relationship as a believer in Jesus Christ, that His eye is especially towards you. It also speaks as a warning to those perhaps lazy Christians, those who are not following the Lord in the fullness of what He wants. May this be a motivation to you to make sure that you live the life that He wants. But for those of you who are walking, He's there for you because He loves you. Well, what a powerful passage this has been tonight. There's nothing that God has and that you're facing that He doesn't know about. They're going to put a number up on the screen again, and if you need prayer for anything, please text that to us or call us on that number. We would love to pray with you, leading you to a place where you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can't imagine, as challenging as this is for unbelievers, I can't imagine facing this situation as an unbeliever. But the grace of God is such that He's available to you right now. The God who watches over everything is watching you. And He loves you. And He's waiting for you to come to Him. I want to pray a blessing over you. As we end this service tonight, I just want to speak a blessing. They'll be coming back here and before too long and doing our post-service wrap-up. People have asked me and wondered, you know, Pastor, how are you doing through all this? I just got to be up front with you. I feel the presence of God. I am tired and I am weary. But I have an expectancy in my spirit. I have an expectancy in my spirit that God is doing something. He's going to do something great. He's going to move in powerful ways in the midst of all of this. And I believe He's going to do the same thing in your life. And I'm wanting to trust Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, wow. Through the authority that You have given me as Your son, as Your follower, I speak blessing on Your people. I pray that You would bless their coming and their going. I pray that You would bless their health. I pray that You would bless their finances. I pray that You would bless their relationships, including their relationship with You. I ask that the Holy Spirit would move in powerful ways. I ask that the Holy Spirit would reach down inside of them. And Father, that You would awaken all of us to the reality of who You really are and the love that You have for us. I pray that it would be something that would completely change and revolutionize our lives. Father, I thank You for the church. Thank You that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I thank You that we're going to come out of this better than what we went into it. Father, because we're going to be closer to You. We love You. We bless You and we thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Bay Harbor. We love you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Bay Harbor. Hope you've enjoyed tonight's worship service. Hope you've enjoyed tonight's message. I know it's a little different being in your living room or around your table, but God still shows up, doesn't He? I just got done preaching next door for the little quick sermonette, I'm going to call it, to the youth ministry, and I felt the presence of God even in the midst of an empty building. I know people were watching. I was able, had an opportunity to minister and to preach the gospel. Still, people still had the opportunity to hear it. Just like you watching this right now, you had an opportunity to hear it. I think Pastor's going to come down here in just a second. And he's going to follow up with you guys as well. But if you didn't catch the pre-service, Pastor, come on. You get a 6-foot stick.
Yeah, I need that 6 feet.
Yeah. But if you didn't catch the pre-service, we fed over 200 people prior to service, Pastor. It's
yeah.
Incredible.
The need is great, and
to be able to do that, provide that for the community, is just, really what it is, it's an honor. Yes. That God would use us in this capacity. And selfishly for me as a pastor, I'm really grateful for it, because in a time where I can't be with you in person, to have you come by and to be able to spend some time with you is really meaningful to me. It makes me feel a lot better.
It is, Pastor. It is. I agree with Pastor, being a part of Bay Harbor. I know other churches are doing wonderful things, Pastor. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
But I also know that being a part of Bay Harbor and what all we are doing, I'm just in awe. I told the students a while ago that I felt like I was kind of in a dream the last few weeks. It's surreal.
Yeah.
It's just different. But then I look back and I see what all God's doing. Before I got the mic a while ago next door, Pastor, I was in tears. A couple reasons.
Yeah.
The fact that the students showed up, the few of them that showed up to spend some time to get the video quality right so people could enjoy it.
Yeah.
And number two is I miss my students.
Yeah.
I miss being with the family, the church family.
I tell you, this has been an interesting day, but I have been charged up just by being with the Bay Harbor family.
Yes.
But then also knowing that we're coming together right now.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
Like we said last week, what the enemy has intended for bad, God has turned into good. And we're standing on that promise.
He has. My neighborhood, I've seen more families just getting together,
yes,
and grouping together. So I just, and every time I do that, I laugh.
Yeah.
I just laugh at it. Yeah, see there?
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep.
What God's doing.
It's exciting. And Bay Harbor, we're continuing tomorrow from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. We will be handing out, distributing food. And so if you know of someone that needs a food box, they can just pull up just like we did tonight. It's very safe. It's not different than any restaurant's doing right now. And so you can come get some canned goods and some different items. And so we're excited to be able to provide that in partnership with America's Second Harvest to continue to make sure people are fed.
Amen.
And we're doing what we can do.
Awesome. Pastor, I love you.
Love you.
Bay Harbor, we love you guys. Look forward to seeing you Sunday morning.
Online.
9 o'clock.
Yep.
Followed by that, we're going to be doing a 10:30 Kidmen service. So if you have a kid that's normally in Kidmen, you have a teenager that wants to just be a part of it.
Yeah,
come on. 10:30. Why don't the whole family get together and hang out?
After you watch the 9 o'clock service.
9 o'clock first.
God bless you, Bay Harbor. Have
love
a good night.
Guys.